The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pete's here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. We're going to have to get to Dave Harrigan's turtleneck hate next segment. Let's start with the ball club. 11 games in, it seemed like the players afterwards were namaste, deep breath. We're not going to overreact. I'm not going to overreact either. But I will say this, Jim. Carl Towns, who they traded, who's offensively having a very good year for the Knicks and was a very productive player here, he wasn't an all-defensive player. He just wasn't. Now, he improved. He was essential to their defense against the Joker. But, Jim, their defense this year just isn't close to last year. To me, that's the biggest concern long term. I get that they've had 20 plus turnovers the last three straight games. First time they've done that since the middle 90s. But to me, if you're telling me this team, which was the best defensive basketball team in the game, is going to play like this the rest of the season, I'm not saying they're going to, but if they are, that's a major issue.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, it all starts with point of attack defense. You know what I mean? Like, we still have those guys. I mean, you know, think about Cat was bigger, though, too. He's bigger than Julius. He's bigger than Nas.
Right.
And so, you know, it's still one of those things where Carl was a pretty good defensive rebounder. You know, people used to give Kevin Love a hard time defensively all the time, too. But that dude would hoover up 12 rebounds on the defensive end all the time, and you can't tell me a defensive rebounding isn't part of defense.
Clearing
the backboard's pretty important, you know.
Yeah.
So Towns could do that. And that's where, you know, when Julius is grabbing 4 and 5 rebounds a game, that's where you kind of like look at you. That's one of the differences right there, is like his ability to, you know, rebound at a higher rate. He needs to do that better. But it still comes down, Chad, to point of attack. Jaden has to be better. Ant needs to be better. You know, Mike at 37, he's still getting picked on sometimes out there. He's, you know, that can be kind of an issue. But, you know, I think Fitchie still needs to expand the bench a little bit. It's a little bit worrying me that we've only played 8 guys here through 11 games.
Why do you think that is?
Expanded to 10. Well, we haven't had many blowouts, that's for sure. So we haven't had, I mean, we've had a few here recently where the other guys have gotten a chance to play a little bit. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, Josh Minot had such a great preseason game, and then he's gotten a few moments here and there, like not in garbage time, because that, you know, it's important for him to and for players to not play in garbage time to be able to evaluate if they can play or not. And, you know, there's a little bit of the quick hook there for him if he doesn't, you know, make a play or if he makes a mistake. You know, there's a little bit of that going on. And you know, Chad, how detrimental that is to a player. If, first of all, if you don't know if you're going to play or not, I mean, you may not play. Pretty much you know you're not going to play, or you might get to play. And if you do get to play, if you make any kind of mistake, you get the quick hook. That happened to me when I was at the University of Minnesota my first couple of years, and it was really a bad place to be in. So
yeah, I was calling for it from the stands.
Yeah, I know you are. You're get Peterson out of there.
Get him out of there, Dutch. What are we doing? No, you're right. I watched it over and over again. Not you. I'm kidding. But like
there were
so many young guys with the Wolves pick the coach. Obviously, flipped the longest. Or certain guys where you finally get out there and you screw up probably more than you should. But if you screw up twice in the first four possessions, you're done. And I just thought last night was a prime example where they just weren't sharp the whole bleeping game. They weren't. They were tossing around. I mean, Portland all of a sudden made shots to go from 4 of 42 to 17 of, was it 26, 27, something like that. It's an amazing turnaround. But, no, they just didn't have the edge. They didn't have the edge offensively, defensively. And that's where, to me, Finch says, okay, bleep it. Like when he called the timeout really early in the third quarter and go, okay, Dillingham, Shannon, you know, I mean, and why not? You're all in here. You guys just watch. And by the way, it might fall flat in his face, but sometimes you just bring juice in there and you see if it changes things. And oh, by the way, the three guys are on the bench probably go, oh, bleep. By the way, I got to take this serious. And I'm not taking it serious like they're not taking it serious, but I got to play with that little extra crispness. They weren't crisp at any point last night.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it was kind of as weird as it sounds. You know, the Emirates in-season tournament, rules kind of came into play because that differential, that's the tiebreaker, right?
So, like, so dumb.
You don't want to just but it is a factor, you know? Yeah. I mean, Finji didn't pull the plug. Even when we were down, 12-14, he didn't pull the plug, so... I mean, they were trying to keep that differential a little bit lower just in case it comes into play. So you can't say it was a non-factor. But, no, but it's like I just think that, if you're going to get an opportunity, this is – I was texting with somebody earlier today about this, like with Josh Minot. Like, when you get your moment, everybody gets that chance, Chad. Obviously, if you aren't a star player, if you're a role player trying to make it, everybody has that story of them when they got a chance, they made something happen to give themselves a turn in their career that helped them make it. You know what I mean? So when Minot gets an opportunity, I don't care if it's a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you've got to make something happen. You've got to make something happen.
Yeah.
I just think that's something that needs to be factored in. Do you know what I mean? Like you got to take a chance and then make the best out of that chance.
And then the two number one drafters basically haven't had a chance. And I still, I think it's interesting. Like I was talking to our guy Meehan last night, and he was like, "Well, what concerns you the most?" I said defense, and then I worry about Conley just because. The wrist is lingering. I know he had it last year, but 37's 37, right? And he's been such a pro. He's such a hard worker. He handled himself. Maybe this is a time when you're playing a back-to-back. Okay, put Dillingham out there. And I'm sure he's not a great defensive player, but all of a sudden maybe he pulls off two, like, whoa. Look at that play, and it just fires everybody up. And we've watched that a million times in sports before where you're just kind of lethargic and you're not going well. And all of a sudden somebody comes in there and they got that extra juice, and whether it's the goal out of nowhere or it's three strikeouts or it's a couple steals or it's a three-pointer and it's a put-back slam or something. I just thought they needed that last night. And on the end of the game, I get those are the rules. They got to change the rules. I mean, the rule has to be, go back to the CBA rules. I think you guys were talking about it, where if you win the quarter or something, because I'm watching that last night, and our guy Chauncey, all-time great guy, when he's calling for a play to be reviewed with 3 seconds to go, by the way, he was right, but I mean, come on, this is not how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it's a little different, but. I like the court, though. What did you think of Portland's court?
I thought the court was better.
One of my favorite ones, actually.
Yeah, I thought the court was better than some. Okay, let's talk Dante. Dante, I loved him with the Knicks. I mean, in preseason, he was great. He plays the right way, but Dante's got to make a shot every once in a while, right? I mean, he has all the intangibles. I still believe in the trade, but if he's going to take those shots, more need to go in. There's no denying that.
And I think his, he's always been sort of a, questionable finisher at the rim. Even when you look at his play back when he was in New York, I looked at a lot of his video when we first got him just to familiarize myself because I wanted to figure out how he played in pick and roll game and could he initiate and can he make the passes and reads out of pick and roll that would allow him to be able to take up the slack if Mike were to get hurt. And what I saw was his deep range, and he's proven he can do that. Like he shoots it really easily from outside the arc and from deep too, but logo type of, range on his shot. But like sometimes his, when he breaks the paint and he gets in there, sometimes his decision-making is a little bit questionable and his ability to finish the rim in traffic is a little bit questionable. So some of that you're going to have to live with, but like he just, one of three last night, he hit that 1-3 early and that's really all he did. And I thought Finchie should have gone back to him in that Miami game because he went back to Mike and Jaden, and I thought that Na and Dante were better. But Finchie has trusted Mike all this time, and he said, I got all these different lineup combinations. I'm not always going to get it right. But Dante has been a guy, Chad, that he's used a bunch as a closer this year so far.
Yeah,
Dante's
that's true.
Come through for him pretty good.
One last,
I'm not going to get down on Dante. Like I still think him and Julius both have a grace period here to kind of figure out how to play within this particular system, which is so different than the way that Tibbs played.
Last thing on the defense, Nas had 28 last night, but Nas is now playing out there with Julius, and Nas, who was just playing the four, and it's interchangeable, but it's a different responsibility for him, and I know he's improved defensively, but as much as I like him, I think that's played a part in some of the defense issues. That's not a strength for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're trying to get Nas off of guarding the five, but a lot of times the five is guarding him, and it becomes like, how cross matching works, Chad. Sometimes you get stuck, having to defend somebody. So, they're trying to get him to guard the four because they get him out of coverage all the time, but a team like Portland and even like Miami, like we're going to see it a ton when you see Oklahoma City. A lot of these teams are running, small pick and rolls or, smalls come and set. And so if you get Nas off the ball and he's not defending the big, they'll just run him back into a pick and roll again and get him back into coverage. The teams are so smart about that, but it has been a problem. But I just think that I'm not going to push the panic button yet. As bad as that game looked last night, and it was a team that just gotten blown out twice in a row that just came alive and looked like gangbusters. Yeah. I got to tell you though, Rob Williams really helps them, Chad.
He might
have been the best player on the floor last night.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, although that guy Scoot, I know he had some moments. He also had some horrible moments. I think you got to play better than that if you have the nickname Scoot. I think he's got to go.
No, Scoot Henderson, but I'm saying Rob Williams.
No. I'm acknowledging Rob Williams. He's good. If he can stay healthy, he's productive. He can dunk it on you, too. But I think you need to call him tonight Sterling until he starts playing better. I think, Harrigan, you got to play. If you have a nickname, you have to be a good player. I don't think you can be Scoot and play as poorly as he does in regular basis.
If you've got a good nickname like Scoot, you can have a bad nickname, and it's fine to be a bad player.
Yeah, it's a really good nickname, but, man, I think Grady nailed it. Comes off the bench, he's got three fouls in the first quarter in like 4 seconds.
Scoot right out of it.
Scooted in the lineup. Scooted out of the lineup.
Scoot him back to the bench.
Yeah, exactly. All right, why does Dave Harrigan hate turtlenecks? Among that topic for Jim Pete when we come back.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Pete is back with us same time tonight on FanDuel. This is 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock from Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still raving about that arena. I thought the arena was fine when I was calling games. I mean, you're turning into the Roman Coliseum.
No, I like it. I mean, I like the neighborhood that it's in. It's outside of downtown. It's kind of, you know, it's over by the old memorial.
Yep.
Coliseum too. Like that place
that was cool.
It was just a different kind of building. And back in the day, it was kind of state of the art. But like, just that's the place that Bill Walton played. And
yep.
It was always cold in that building. Remember how cold it was in there? Did you ever do games in that?
Yes. Yes.
God.
See that, you know.
And then we used to, hey, Chad, I just was talking to guys, some guys that we wanted to know what it was like playing back in the 80s and 90s and stuff. And I was like, well, we played at the Coliseum and we stayed at the Red Lion when we came to Portland. Remember the Red Lion?
Did you
ever stay there?
Oh, yeah. Early on, man. I mean, it changed.
We stayed there when I first started broadcasting.
Yeah.
The Red Lion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, you make so many good points. Like, I love when I call games. You know, I would have kept going without Quentin, this whole stuff. But, man, calling games in the 70s would have been so cool. I mean, it would have been so different. And, yeah, the accommodations where now it's all private and the great food and 400 assistant coaches and stuff. I mean, it was a very, very
different situation. Hey, Chad, the one thing that I miss about the old days is that we all sat courtside.
Oh, God, yeah.
At every game.
Oh, yeah.
The radio was courtside. TV, we'd all be side by side next to each other over there. It was so great.
It was so great because you get, and I get it, they can sell the seats. I remember when Chris Wright, the two of us were picking out because they were booting me. I mean, they said, guess what? What you're paying, we're paying you a game we can get per seat down here, so you're losing, you know? And we were picking out. It was so fun because you could just hear all that byplay. It just added to the broadcast. It was fantastic. Yep. I hope you get to stay down below like you were last night in more arenas. Let me ask you, but do you see the Bronny James note that Windhorse has? That Bronny is now only going to play the home games for the Lakers G League team. Can you explain to me why that would be? It's not going to play.
He can't help you win.
I mean, why wouldn't he play the road games? I don't understand. I mean, he comes off as a great kid, and if it's somehow related to his heart issues, and you know this way better than anybody else, considering what you've battled, then he shouldn't be playing at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really feel like, you know, LeBron wanted this whole thing to happen, and you know, good for him for manifesting it. But like, you know, if it was my kid. I wouldn't want to put all that pressure on Bronny and let him go have a college experience and let him play and be a regular basketball player and see how far he can go on his own merits, you know? And so I just think it's all just a weird thing, you know? So I just think that in some ways LeBron's kind of done Bronny a disservice by trying to get this magical thing. And we were there on opening night, by the way. It was just interesting to be there. The media crush and like all the people that were paying attention to this thing that was so manufactured. It was AstroTurf, you know, instead of grassroots, but it just, but so anyway, I guess I've not seen that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. You know, the Griffeys were there. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. He's one of the 20 best players of all time. His dad was a fabulous player. You know, Bronny was headed for maybe a much better second year at SC. It had the significant health issue. And where LeBron is two-faced in this, he is touting him. He's touting, and I don't doubt he's a great father, right? But there are times when he's just, you know, he's social media spotlighting him, and then he'd get mad. Just let him be on his own. Why are you asking me? Well, hold on a second. You can't do both. You can't be, like, social media profiling him, and then if a reporter asks you a question, you don't want to talk about it. You can't have both situations. Okay, Harrigan, what is your hate of a turtleneck? Because I think the sweater turtleneck is just a great look. Our news guy Ari's pulling it off today, and then Lewis Riddick on TV, and he had the coat and the turtleneck. I think that's a great look. Why do you hate the turtleneck?
Oh, our turtlenecks are objectively awful. That's why I hate them.
And wow.
They're uncomfortable. They're not a good look, and it all stems from my childhood, really. From being,
were turtlenecks foisted upon you?
Yes, they were. From, you know, when you're a kid, you wear what mom puts on the bed when it's, you know, time to go to Christmas Eve church or something like that. So it would always be, as I remember, the turtleneck underneath the wool sweater. And that's why I never wear a turtleneck or B, a wool sweater.
Okay.
Two of the worst pieces of clothing a man can own.
Now, before you jump in, I'm with them on the wool sweater. The wool sweater should not exist. You know, it's for the wool sweater, Big Itch. Big Itch loves.
Is Benadryl pushing them?
Benadryl and anything. Skin lotion is behind it. Because the heavy, you must add a bunch of wool sweaters, Pete. Come on. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I never wore just the wool sweater. Nobody wears just a wool sweater, do they? You got to put a shirt on underneath it, like a button down and a collar.
I think you missed, Dave, that the sheep does. Yeah, the sheep is adapted.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, other than the turtleneck, how about the dickie? Did you guys ever wear the dickie? Like,
no,
my dad was big on the dickie.
He loved the dickie? Really?
Oh, my dad was big on the dickie. He didn't want to put the whole turtleneck on. He just wanted to put the turtle on.
I mean, you're talking about fake news. I mean, come on.
It's definitely the turtleneck sweater version of the clip-on tie.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Now, did your dad also have the clip-on tie, or would he have the real tie?
No, he didn't have the clip-on tie, but, like, he had a bunch of dickies. And, I think, really, it's, you know, the turtleneck is really a function of living in Minnesota, right? I mean, it is functional. And, by the way, Michael Grady loves the turtleneck.
You'll see
a Michael Grady turtleneck during the broadcast.
Pulls it off.
It'll happen.
Very, okay, what's with Grady and the glasses this year? He has the glasses more often now.
Yeah, he needed a little correction in his vision, so he's got the stylish glasses. Don't question Grady's style.
No, no. I wasn't questioning. I was saying
you were.
No, how was I questioning? No, they look very good. He's a tremendous dresser. Okay, where do you stand on TikTok? Because Carter just sent me a TikTok that's very funny, you know, with Trump and Biden meeting today, and all of a sudden it's, why can't we be friends? Like, they're canoeing together. They're doing karaoke together. I love TikTok. Pete, how much are you? You love TikTok? You don't like TikTok? Where are you with the TikTok?
My wife would say I have got unhealthy obsession on TikTok. And I love TikTok so much. I got that little thing that you put in your fingertip and you can scroll with your, just like the press of the button.
What?
I don't.
What is this? I mean,
you don't know about this?
No, my fingertip works very well. Yeah.
No, this is so much better. If you just want to sit there and just go click, 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 like you're clicking a clicker in your fingertips. It's like you just hit this button and it scrolls for you. And it works on Instagram too. It works on your phone. It moves whatever you're looking at forward. Twitter.
It's the Viagra of fingertips. Is that it?
It is so. It's the lazy person's version of scrolling. It is so lazy. It's the ultimate
That's
of
bad.
Lazy.
That is very bad. You know what?
I'm very susceptible to all the commercials on TikTok and Instagram too. I buy stuff all the time.
I got to be honest. I've never said this before. I'm embarrassed for you with this little finger thing.
Hey, I'm going to get you one, and then I'll let you try it, and you'll see for yourself how valuable it is.
Dead to me. I mean, this is
What's Grady's number? Eric, we got to start having Grady on. He doesn't have this finger thing.
He was going to come on, but then he heard you talking about his glasses, and now he's out.
I thought his glasses looked great last night.
Okay, backtrack.
Oh, that was not
great. Are you pro-China on TikTok, too?
Hey, China, listen, if the trade-off is China has all my info or I lose TikTok, here you go, China. Here's everything. I don't want to lose my TikTok. All right, we got to go. Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
All right. Buckle up, everybody. Okay. You think the Pete Hegseth selection for Secretary of Defense caused some controversy? Wait till you hear who's the next Attorney General. If you're not a Trump fan, grab a beverage. You're going to need it. Matt Gaetz is the next Attorney General of the United States of America. You've got to be kidding me.
It's not official yet.
Yeah, it is. It is. Trump's tweeted it out. Matt's responded now as, you know, we should get him back on Josh Kroshauer. Used to have him on a decent amount years ago. He just put out and I retweeted, will he get approved? Okay, it's a Republican Senate just waiting for the final numbers. He's not qualified to be the Attorney General, period, end of statement.
Who says?
I just did.
Why?
Okay, because he's not.
Good answer.
Yeah, he is. Point made. He hasn't demonstrated anything other than he's a troll and a butt kisser. Yes, he is an attorney. All he does is create news about himself and harass and belittle and kiss the posterior of Donald John Trump.
There. This was, you just made everyone's point.
Yeah.
That makes him very qualified to
That's
be the
it.
Attorney General.
That is the
United
reason
States of Minnesota,
why. Pete Hegseth, who's the great, is Dwight D. Eisenhower compared to Matt Gaetz as the Attorney General. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, is General MacArthur compared to this guy. I guess this, you know, one another thing he has in common? We're still investigating his sexual allegations, Matt Gaetz. Come on. There's so many qualified Republicans to be an attorney general. I mean, Jeff Sessions, he had him because Jeff Sessions had the audacity to do his job. He was done with him. Then Bill Barr, who's been a Republican since the doctors slapped his, let's go with this word, fanny.
Mm.
And he did his job and then had the temerity, the audacity to tell Donald Trump the election wasn't stolen. Just Matt Gaetz, you've got to be kidding me.
You knew it would be sycophants and Trump butt kissers, as you've preferred.
This is
this even beyond what you thought he would do?
Yes, on this one. And I've sat here and I've said, I hope he is a phenomenal president. And I said I was going to react to all the verbiage. And I'm not going to. But just get out of here with this guy's qualified. Just get out of here. There's millions of Republicans who are more qualified than Matt Gaetz. Millions. This is because he's epoxied himself on Russia, on this hoax, that hoax. Where are his extraordinary legal credentials to be an attorney general? There are none. He is detested by numerous Republicans in Congress. They have contempt for him. I just said Republicans.
Now they get to get rid of him.
Yeah. I assume he's going to get approval because the Republicans want to go along with their guy. And you should get great deference when you're the president of the United States regarding your selections. Come on. Come on. This guy. It's like it's an SNL skit. Matt Gaetz. Am I having one of those dreams again? I mean, I didn't sleep well. I had the migraine the other day. Am I going to wake up and it's 2:13 in the morning? I'm going to go, okay, I got more sleep.
If you wake up at 2:30, it's 2:13. It's because of cheap.
I got another smoke detector. Cheap. Beep.
Now it's the Gaetz detector.
Oh my God! It just. Okay, what do you want to say?
I mean, you said he's an attorney.
Yep.
What type of law did he practice? I assume general law. So it's in the name. It's clownish. It's absolutely clownish. Whether you think he is the greatest attorney in the history of this country, it's still clownish, given his behavior as a congressman. Given the allegations, as you mentioned, that have been levied against him, still being looked into, investigated. I'm not.
We can't be shocked.
No, we're not shocked. I'm trying to decide if I'm even surprised.
So here's a text that's just a flat out lie. Chad, you will not like anyone that Trump will be choosing. He could choose the Pope and you would find something wrong with him.
Well, the Pope is not an attorney.
Yeah. I said Marco Rubio. Good pick. Matt Waltz, good pick. Susie Wiles, good pick. I had on the Colonel, and I praised Pete Hegseth for his service, for his intelligence, and I pointed out others who have taken this job and didn't have much experience. That's just total BS. This guy has done nothing, zero, to demonstrate that he's up for this job outside of completely, totally defending Trump. I get it. Any president gets to pick people who they believe in. But this is, yes, my leader. I've demonstrated my loyalty. Yeah. You were asking me off air, where's Marjorie? What role is Marjorie Taylor Greene going to get?
Yeah. Lauren Boebert. Let's get them all.
Yeah.
Get the whole band in there.
People saying the other attorney generals, they don't know him. Well, that's on you. That's on you if you decide. And by the way, some have been too loyal to their presidents. Eric Holder was probably crossed the line in his loyalty to Barack Obama. The attorney general has to be loyal again to the Constitution, right? It's not the personal attorney. But that's what Donald Trump wanted. He wanted the attorney general to be his personal attorney to use against rivals. And by the way, people say, well, he didn't go against Hillary. He didn't. Yes, he did. It just didn't work. Just read about it. It's out there everywhere. It just didn't work when Sessions and Barr, the attorneys general, told him, we don't have anything to go at him on.
I think we can tell that the president elect's opinion of loyalty to the Constitution, shady.
Someone comparing this selection to Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy. Are you bleeping kidding me? Is this a cry for help? Is this person being held hostage? Honestly, comparing him to RFK, call a doctor right now. Who's next? Who's next on the list? Donald wanted his own attorney to be the attorney general to show complete loyalty. He's got his guy. And I'm sure Kevin McCarthy's really excited.
Did we think he was like going to go and get like the most kind of thoughtful jurist in the land?
Go to Merrick Garland and say, you continue.
Yeah. You've done a great job.
I thought he'd go higher than Matt Gaetz. You know, there's not much lower.
Look, who knows there's more about government
slimy
investigations?
Yeah,
like, he knows a lot about government investigations. Seems like a good pick to me.
Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, has said over and over again, there's proof this guy was with underage girls. Party after party after party. And Gates shivved him, pulled it off, staged the coup, so McCarthy, a diehard Republican conservative and a congressman, not AOC, not Ilhan Omar, okay, not Betty McCollum. And I don't know, is this going to come up in the hearings? That'll be, I'll tell you what, you want to grab your popcorn? When Gates is questioned by Democrats in the approval. Your guy.
You voted. You voted. You're Mr. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I did not vote for Matt Gaetz.
Man.
I did not.
I don't know.
Pete Hegseth.
Good people on both sides.
Greatest appointment ever on the planet.
I have Pete's dad on the show today.
Oh. I thought it was his brother.
I think it's his dad.
Dad, I apologize. Father, 335.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.